Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app, brought to you with Apple and Google Play. You can get the app on the Google Play Store by searching Wake Up Call DT. All one word, Wake Up Call DT. D as in Dan, T as in Tortora. And you can also go to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. That's WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile to download it for your iPad, iPod, and iPhone. I want to thank everybody that's downloaded the app with over 480 shows available to you at any time. Here's the thing. The first show that went up there over 2 years ago is there. Every show created after that automatically gets added to it. So you can listen in on the Google Play as well as Apple app, Wake Up Call DT, and you will be able to get every single show from over 2 years ago and counting. Every time a show gets put out, it gets added into the app. So you will always have that. You'll always have the opportunity. And it automatically updates itself, takes little to no storage from you on your phone or your Apple iPad or your tablet, whatever it may be. So it's a great app to have because you always have the show with you. You never lose the signal. There's a description of each show to know whichever one you want to listen to, however many you want to listen to. You can pause it. You can go back. It's always available for you. And you can get it anywhere in the world. Thanks to Apple and Google, so thank you so much for that. You can also, if you're an iTunes podcast person, the name of the show is the name of the podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. If you search that in iTunes podcasts, you will find every single show there as well, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. And from there, you can download the shows from the iTunes podcast. You can download them onto your computer, onto your phone. You can listen to them later. You can tag them as a favorite. Whatever you want to do, you can do plenty of different things with the iTunes podcast. And, of course, you can listen, watch, and read on WakeUpCallDT.com. WakeUpCallDT.com, the hub of Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, gives you the opportunity to not only listen to everything you can hear on the Apple app and the Google Play Store app and the iTunes podcast, but it also gives you the opportunity to watch different things from the Wake Up Call YouTube channel, the Wake Up Call DT channel, which is youtube.com/WakeUpCallDT. And you can also read. I write plenty of articles. Hundreds of articles are on there already, uploaded, and you can get to them free by becoming a member of WakeUpCallDT.com. Your membership automatically puts you in to all the articles that are written. And you get a newsletter and everything going on. And anytime there's a fan event or anything going on, you get posts to hear that. And you become some of the first people to know exactly what's going on. By becoming a member of WakeUpCallDT.com, you're becoming a part of my family. By becoming a part of my family, you're going to get that information and know what's coming up as soon as it happens. So make sure that you stay close to WakeUpCallDT.com for everything. So, that's the way that you can listen, watch, and read. I'm very happy for all of you that are listening, whether it be on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora's iTunes podcast, Wake Up Call DT free app on Google Play and through Apple, or on WakeUpCallDT.com. Thank you so much, and God bless for that. Today was a big day. And today, I mean Thursday, March 19th, 2015. A big day. It's the start of the 64 teams in the 2015 men's basketball NCAA tournament. It's a historical day of Syracuse not being in the tournament because they sanctioned themselves during the NCAA 10-year investigation. But above all that, today is a special day because today is the day, and this is my quote, and it's a simple statement, Boeheim was human today. He was human. He wasn't going after people. in a post-game press conference. There was no error that he was better than anybody else, smarter than anybody else, more talented than anybody else. The anger, frustration, tough bedside manner that sometimes you feel from Boeheim. Some people feel that. Boeheim talked about it in the press conference. You know, some people say that they're, when they see me, you know, when somebody sees him at a restaurant or in a press conference or something like that, that they're intimidated by him. And I understand that. I understand people saying that. I get that. I understand where it comes from. But Boeheim was saying, you know, I don't understand how I could go into a restaurant, server could say to me, I'm intimidated by you, and why, you know, why? But, you know, as Pearl Washington had said to me, and something that I believe too, he's like, you know, Boeheim's stubborn. You know, that stubbornness, being upset sometimes, the way that he comes across in a press conference, you can understand that people would say, okay, he doesn't have a good bedside manner, he doesn't really like talking to people, rather just be left alone. But Boeheim was human today. He's always been good to me. He's always been nice to me. I in all the time that I've known Jim Boeheim, in my coverage of him, I have no complaints. I know he's been hard on people. I've been in the room when that's happened. But I feel like there's a mutual respect there. And hopefully Jim Boeheim feels the same way. After covering him for a few years now, here, I've covered Syracuse throughout my 11-plus years of being a broadcaster, but being at the games and seeing him after all the, you know, in all the post-games and talking with him at the Dome and all that, asking questions, you know, there were two other opportunities that I had that I feel very blessed to have, because I know that they don't come around a lot. I don't hear a lot of people talk about them. And that is sitting in Jim Boeheim's office. Just him and I. You know. That's something that I will take with me and appreciate and cherish for the rest of my life. Because out of everybody, you know, growing up and everything, out of everybody that I could ever interview, sit down with, have a one-on-one exclusive, where nobody else has it, it's just me, them, and the wall, Jim Boeheim's on a very short list of people where I say, wow, that's amazing. That's great. Everybody I've talked to has been phenomenal. I thank God for every single one of the 400-plus sports figures I've talked to in a short amount of time. Jim Boeheim, just, it does. I mean, in all honesty, I think you can understand that, and I think other people can too. It's just, it's different. And sitting in his office with him and doing two different interviews where it was just me and him, you know, he's very candid, open, just him and I one-on-one. Those are times where, you know, I've seen something from him that, you know, it's not your typical. I mean, he treated me fine. There wasn't arrogance or disrespect, really stubbornness, anything, any of that. And after the first time I interviewed him in his office, speaking on Jim Boeheim, I had shut my recorder off. I was sitting right across from him behind his desk just talking, and I shut my recorder off, and I went to get up, and he turned himself to face his desk, and he looked down and he goes, it's a good interview. It's a good interview. It was a good questions. It was a good interview. And I looked at him and I said to myself in my mind, I was like, oh my God, you know, a compliment from Jim. I mean, you don't hear him say, hey, that was a good interview. You know, it was good. So that meant a lot to me. You know, it meant a lot to me. And I felt like that is where that mutual respect started to get built, you know. But you, when you talk to him about his foundation, the Jim and Julie Boeheim Foundation, there is a little bit more sense of humanity there when he's talking about that. But sitting in his office, it really was. You know, I didn't treat him like a king, and he didn't treat me like, oh my God, here's another media person. And so there was like that even playing field and that conversation. Well, fast forward to Thursday, March 19th, 2015, everything comes out, NCAA has a report. They release it. It's 90-some-odd pages. Majority of it is Syracuse basketball. The punishment majority is Syracuse basketball. Boeheim's having wins taken away, scholarships taken away. He's suspended 9 games. For the first 9 games of the ACC, 2015-2016, Syracuse on a 5-year probation. They got to pay money back from tournaments they won, and so on and so forth. And Boeheim has issued statements, but he hasn't come out and he hasn't said anything. You know, he's issued his statements, but didn't come out for the NC State game. Big thing there. He said, listen, I was counseled not to. Not that I didn't want to, but I was counseled not to. And he had made mention that some people had brought him up as a coward for not going out there. That's not something I ever thought of for him, to not go out there. I made a joke that he Coach K'd the press conference because Mike Krzyzewski of Duke, when there's the halftime and you always pull the coach aside and you always talk to the head coach for college basketball, well, the only team that I've seen where the head coach goes to the locker room and the assistant coach had to come out and talk to the media. That special treatment thing, I don't go for that. I mean, I don't think anybody's bigger than anybody else. I know you win a lot of games, whatever. But I don't treat anybody like they're bigger than me. If you're God, yeah, you're bigger than me. You're a lot bigger than me. But you're not. If you're anybody else, you're not lower than me. You're not bigger than me. You know, we're the same. We're right here. You know, we're humans. We're standing here on a level playing field. I'm going to respect you. I expect the same. That type of thing. So I made that joke, but never did I think that Boeheim was a coward, that he ran away. I understand why he didn't want to. You know, I thought of it before I knew that he was counseled not to come out, which is interesting. You know, somebody said, you know what, Jim, why don't you not go out? I don't think that necessarily bothered him. I mean, if I was a coach and all this had come out a couple days before and I was coming out to talk about losing on the road to NC State, I wouldn't want to come out and know that I'm going to sit down and I'm going to say Rock did this and Trevor did this and Mike Benajay did this and know that all the questions are going to be about the investigation and what do I think and yada, yada, yada. And I'm not going to want to talk about it, so I have to say no comment, no comment, no comment, no comment, no comment, no comment, no comment. I wouldn't want to go out. So I understood that. When I saw it in that sense, when he didn't come out in that moment, and I didn't know it was because he was counseled not to, as he said in his press conference on Thursday, March 19th, 2015. Before I knew he was counseled not to go out, I was like, I understood. You know, I understand if he doesn't want to go out. I don't think he's a coward. Would you want to go out? Would you want to sit down and just have a bunch of people ask you questions and you're not going to answer them and you know that they're going to freak out, so it just keeps going and going and going and going? I wouldn't want to sit out there. So I completely understood that. Completely understood that. And then he says, you know, they said, don't go out. Okay. So since then, we haven't seen him. We haven't seen Jim. He did the hardwood banquet where some fans got to see him, but the media has not seen him. He has not talked about all this. And then Kent Siveru, the new chancellor that took over after Nancy Kanner, he comes in and he has all these statements. After the report comes out with the NCAA, he sends a big long email. And then recently he sent another email about Dr. Gross no longer being in the position of director of athletics at Syracuse, which is something I've been saying for a long time. When all this happened, I said, listen, they're not going to fire Boeheim. I don't think they can fire Boeheim. Dr. Gross is the next person that you would think makes the most sense to no longer be in his position, and that's what ended up happening within a couple weeks. On the side of Jim Boeheim, though, it was, you know, what's going to happen? And the age-long question has been, when is the time? Before this investigation, before anything came out that Syracuse was potentially going to get sanctioned, before they took themselves out of the tournament. That's been the question. It's a question, one of the questions I get asked the most. And I appreciate that because people respect my opinion. You respecting my opinion, I appreciate that. You should. I respect your opinion. As long as you justify it and you're respectful, I respect your opinion. people that come across like a jerk, I don't want to hear from you. Why would anybody want to hear from you? You walk into the supermarket, somebody starts yelling at you because your cart's in their way. Do you want to talk to that person, be friends with that person, hang out with that person, engage that person? No. That's how I feel. You're screaming at me on social media, buzz off. I don't care. You don't matter to me. And that's it. You matter to me in the sense of, I hope God is with you. I hope you have a phenomenal life. I hope you're healthy and safe and happy. And that you have everything that you will ever need. I pray and I hope that for everybody. Every hater I have. Every single one that I have. Understand this. I love you. All of you that hate me, I love you. For two reasons. God told me to. God's taught me to. Okay? That's reason one. Reason two, why I love you, is that you remind me who I am and who I'm not every single day. I'm not you, which I am thankful for, and I am me, which I love. I'm not someone who wants to see somebody fail. I'm not someone that wants to hurt people. I never deliberately do anything to attack anybody. So I feel sorry for you. I really honestly do. I feel sorry for you. Because if you put the energy in that you do to hate me and hate other people that you don't know because of whatever cockamamie reason you created in your brain that makes sense to you, if you took the energy that you have hating people and you put it into loving yourself, wow, how much better your life would be. Hating me is not going to make your life better. It's not going to do anything for you. Hating Jim Boeheim is not going to make your life better. Now, you can stand up for what's right, say what happened under Jim Boeheim wasn't right, and I'm going to stick up for that. Okay, well, that's not hurting anybody. Okay, you stand up for morals and values? I do too. All right, amen, brother. Arm in arm, let's go together. I gotcha. But when that question comes up all the time, what's Boeheim going to do? When is he going to leave, Dan? Can you tell me, Dan? Why don't you know yet, Dan? Remember the first time I asked Jim Boeheim that, it was the first time I was sitting in his office, just him and I, one-on-one. It was going into summertime, a few years back, sitting in his office. And I said, before I let you go, Jim, I gotta know. So we're here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. I said, you know, I gotta know. I said, everybody always asks you that question. When are you gonna leave? Do you have any inkling? And he said, isn't that the question? He's like, isn't that the million-dollar question, is what he said. And it was like, we'll know when we know. Well, now we know. It's 3 years. 3 years from the end of this season. So that's 2015-16. 16-17, 17-18. So in early 2018, Jim Boeheim will no longer be the coach of Syracuse basketball. Think about that. I'll be 73 years old, and I really want you to listen. I asked the question, it's the third question that was asked in the press conference, which I'm going to play for you in its entirety, because I believe even if you saw it live, you have a right to hear it, and you have a right to see it, too. Because there's a lot of information, but I mean, this is something that's going to be, I mean, this is a historical moment. It's like you put a peg on that timeline, and this little peg is going to be there forever. Not this year, not this month, not this minute. I know that there's constant information coming out, and you're bombarded with information in the technological world that we live in, but put a peg in this press conference, because this thing's going to last forever. It's going to last forever. Beyond your lifetime. Beyond my lifetime. This is going to last. You put a little peg in there. So I videotaped the entire press conference on the Wake Up Call DT YouTube channel. So you can check it out on youtube.com/wakeupcallDT. All one word. No dashes, nothing. youtube.com/wakeupcallDT. I want to thank the 95,000 plus views that we've had on there. Our quest for 100,000 is coming up. It's going on right now. I believe that this Jim Boeheim video can do it. Make sure you check it out. You can also get it on wakeupcalldt.com. And you can listen to it here today. I'm going to play you the entire audio. The third question, what I was saying a few minutes before, that's the question that I asked, which was about why Jim chose 3 years. Why 3 years? What is this 3 years? Because now we know. and he says a lot of things in it. So if you haven't heard it, I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm going to let you listen to it. But he answers a lot of questions. Let me just put it this way. He answers a lot of questions that I had outside of just that one question that other people have had over the last few years in answering my question. He gave me a very long, descriptive, heavy, you know, big weight to it answer. And I thank him very much for that. And I thank Syracuse for the opportunity of being there. I think it was phenomenal. One of the greatest moments in the history of sports. You know, even though it's not the most positive thing for Syracuse, this press conference with Jim Boeheim, it was one of the greatest moments that I'll always remember. I got a peg in it in my life. You got to put a peg in it for yours. So my whole point today is to talk to you a little bit about the human side of Jim Boeheim, what I took away, and then just let you listen to the press conference. Just let you hear it for all that it is. And always have it with you. Always have it on the Wake Up Call DT app. Always have it on wakeupcalldt.com. Always have it downloaded to your computer through the Wake Up Call DT app or wakeupcalldt.com or the iTunes podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. However you get it. To download it, keep it, cherish it, it's keepsake. This is something you put in a time capsule. So I'm very happy to bring it to you. It means a lot. So we're going to listen to that here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, and I'm going to let you go through it, pause it, go back, listen, fast forward, go to that part, listen. Because take your notes, write it down. There's a lot of stuff that was said today. There's a lot of stuff. There's a 94-page NCAA report, and I believe that this Jim Boeheim conversation was about an hour press conference. To me, this press conference, this is like, you know, this is the Jim Boeheim report. This is the NCAA report. Well, this is another report to go through, listen to, understand, go back, see how it affects the past, the present, and the future. Always. You know, Jim Boeheim. People that love basketball. Syracuse. People that don't love sports but live in Syracuse. I mean, this is a guy that's represented the city for over 40 years as a player and a coach. It says a lot. So the human side of Boeheim, this is the thing that I want to hit before you listen to everything. This is what I want to hit. The human side of Jim Boeheim. The humanity. He was human. It's the best quote I can give you. That's what I mean, it's what I was thinking about. I was talking with my dad. I was talking with my mom. And I said it to my mom. I said, Boeheim was human today. He was human today. In the sense of, he answered everybody's question. He was thorough. He joked around a little bit. But there was, like he said, he was like, you know, when I go up against people and I jar you and I give you a little one, you know, little hits in press conferences, little 1-2, you know, he was like, that's just my press conference thing. You know, that's just me joking around. But he was like, you know, I care about these people. I like these people. You know, he said that's just what he does. He's never admitted that. You always, like, hope if Boeheim attacks you in a press conference, like, he doesn't actually hate me and think I'm a terrible person. And I'm very blessed that he has not done that to me, but I feel like I ask educated questions that I don't know that I can't just sit there and answer myself. And I always think about it from his perspective. And when he answers my questions, and there really isn't much to say, I don't force a question. Because people ask me that all the time. They're like, Dan, you know, like, I heard you ask questions, and why didn't you ask one this week? Or why haven't you asked a question in a couple weeks? And I'm like, listen, I'm right there. I'm filming it. I'm listening. But, you know, Rakeem Christmas scores 35 points, and the team wins by 20. You know, Jim Boeheim's going to come out and say, listen, if we didn't have, or Rakeem has 35 points and the team wins by, let me say this better here, Rakeem has 35 points and the team won by a few, right? So they needed every point he had. So Rakeem, you know, obviously was the reason why Syracuse won. It was a huge reason why they won if you took away any of his points. You know, Syracuse wins by 14 and Rakeem Christmas scored 14 or 15 points. You know, there's not much to say. Or they miss 11 free throws, they lose by 9. You know, what can you say? So I tell people, you know, like, I didn't hear you ask a question today. What's up, man? Like, why didn't you ask a question? I'm like, listen, he said what I said. You know, he set up what I was thinking. He said what's going through my mind You know, one of the games this year was that. It was a free throws game. He came out, he said, no matter how many questions you ask me, you can keep asking me questions, but it's very plain and simple, and it comes down to this, and you should all know this. It came down to free throws. We didn't make them. That's why we lost the game. And that's all it was. You know, so I don't ask a question unless I feel like there's a good question to ask. You know, a question that makes sense. You know, and I study Boeheim like I you know, study anybody. You know, there's tough ones out there. Coach K, he likes to beat around a little bit. He likes to get you going. And he'll answer your question, but he wants to know, who are you? What are you asking? You know, he's not the same as Jim Boeheim. I think I don't know Coach K personally, but I think that Jim, I don't know, people could look at it either way. I was going to say Jim maybe isn't as rough around the edges, but you know, I think a lot of people think he's the roughest around the edges. But, you know, he was human today. He was. He was thorough. He answered questions. When he was reading through the 4 points that you'll hear about the things he wanted to address in his opening statement that he wrote out, which I thought was very smart. It's like a presentation. The only other time I've ever seen him read off a piece of paper that I think was something that he wrote out was Bernie Fine. I think that was the only other time I've ever seen him go to the podium with something to read off of, something to guide him. And when he was going through the 4 points that he wanted to make, you know, it sounded like his voice was getting a little bit angry, gripping the podium a little bit, but he never swore, never yelled, never got out of control or disrespectful to the NCAA. I think that was important for him, for the school. You know, Kent Siverud said in the statement that Boeheim was going to be thorough and was going to approach things, you know, respectfully, and he did. So you see that side. You know, Boeheim didn't attack any reporters. He joked and talked about, you know, when I do that, it's just like my thing. You know, I'm not trying to hate on anybody or anything like that. You know, it's something that you always thought, but you don't know for sure. You're like, what if he really does hate this person? You know, and, you know, there's people that don't tell the truth, and there's people that do some really shady things in media that lie, cheat, and steal in media. So if there's, you know, some people that he didn't like or some things he didn't like, I would totally understand it because I don't like them. I'm a part of the media by definition, but I'm not a part of the media by my morals and values totally outstretching, outweigh any of the garbage that some people sling that I don't respect. I don't lie, cheat, and steal. If that means I have more less listeners, less viewers, less readers, whatever, I don't care. If I tell the truth and I got 3 people that love to listen to my show, that's better to me than having 3 million people and I'm lying to you, because it all catches up to you. And when the bad prosper, when those people that are not doing good things prosper, and they prosper and they prosper and they prosper and they prosper, it all comes out in the wash. It always does. It always, always does. And when you do the right thing, and you always, always, always want to do the right thing and try to do the right thing, and if you do the wrong thing, you correct it and try to do the right thing, God's got you. He's got you. God's got me. You know, there's a lot of injustice in the world. I've experienced some of it. Nothing close to what some people have experienced, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm sad that anybody has witnessed injustice of any magnitude. But God's got me. That's one thing that I know. Anytime I get stressed out or I worry about injustice, God's like, listen, you can't control this. It might never change, but I'm going to get you here. I'm going to get you to something better. I'm going to help you out here. And He always does. And I thank you for that, God. So, I can understand Boeheim getting upset with people, but in this press conference, he wasn't getting upset. He was answering questions. He was thorough. One of the hardest things to do that I think goes so unnoticed and underappreciated and disrespected, or not just even thought of at all, is when you come out as a coach and you make an opening statement, you get to say everything you want to say. You get to say every single thing you want to say. Everything that you want to say. It's like being in court, right? Get your opening remarks, your closing remarks. You can say whatever you want to say. When you're closing and you're looking at the jury, you got that written out. You studied it. You went over it. You know it. You know what type of finger point. Like if you want to do a finger point, you want to do like a fist, like yes. Or you want to be like really like passionate. Or you want to be kind of laid back. And how you want to say this word and where you want to hit the punctuation. And what you want to say and how long you want to speak and what you want to do. That's all you. So when Boeheim comes out and he's got everything printed out he wants to talk about, guess what? That's great. It's great for him. But what goes so unnoticed, or noticed but not talked about, is when a coach says, okay, I will take your questions now. At that point, he doesn't know what people are going to say. No coach does. Any man or woman out there. You don't know. You think you know, but you don't know what they're going to say, how they're going to word it, and how you're going to answer it. He was thorough in every single answer he had. He did his research. He studied. He understood. And though he did not know what questions were going to be asked, how they were going to be asked, who was going to ask them, how descriptive they were going to be, or how vague, broad they were going to be, every single question that was asked to Jim Boeheim, he answered. And he answered to me. He gave you what he had, but he sounded educated. He never said, I don't know. He never just said, I don't know. That's a stumper. But he didn't sit there and say, yep, Mike Hopkins definitely going to be the coach. He didn't sit there and say, I mean, even he said to me, he brought up 3 years over and over and over again, but in the conversation he had, when I asked him the question, the third question about why 3 years, I'll give you a little snippet of this, he said, you know, three is like the outside number. But he said, you know, if after 1 year I feel like I'm not doing enough or, you know, it's just not there, then maybe I'm gone after one, maybe I'm gone after two, but three is the end. So he said three a bunch of times, 3 years, 3 years, 3 years. But in my question, he said, well, maybe it's one, maybe it's two, maybe it's three. Not more than that, but, you know, it still could change a little bit. He answered. He answered questions. He was thorough. He sounded like he did his homework, and he was human. He was nice. He came across, and you know, as much as he brought up certain people, every single time he wanted to talk about, well, why didn't the football program get this, and you know, this is what Stan Kissel did, and he's not here anymore, or, you know, this person told him to do this, and I never told him to do that. Out of everything that he said, and anybody he could have put it on, and any remarks he made that had to do with anybody else, taking any type of blame other than himself, what did he always come back to, and you'll hear it, he said, but, again, I take full responsibility for my punishments. I will take the NCAA punishments. Now, he's going to appeal them, but whenever he put it on somebody else, he said, but you know what? This is what the NCAA has said, and I accept my punishment. Big words coming from a guy who people believe cannot accept guilt, cannot be sorry. Wasn't the case here. I've been in a lot of press conferences with Jim Boeheim, a lot, and I grew up. That's all I ever knew. Syracuse basketball is Jim Boeheim. Jim Boeheim, Syracuse basketball. I mean, they coincide. They're the same. It's a marriage. And it's been a strong marriage for a very long time. And this is kind of Jim Boeheim in the marriage saying, you know, Syracuse, I love you. I love you. But we got to talk about some things. And I'm not going to put any of it on you. There's some things I don't agree with and some things I don't like, but you know what? I should do the dishes when I come home from work. I should take care of the kids. I should have fed our kid more in the middle of the night so you didn't have to get up. I should take out the trash. Maybe I should cook dinner twice a week, three times a week, take a little pressure off of you. Boeheim was human today. He was human today. And today is the only day that matters. You can't change the past. Can't change. You don't know what the future is going to be. You can affect the future by what you do now. But the only thing that you have any control over is right now. So, right now, I will be bringing you that conversation that Jim Boeheim had with the media, with the community, what he had to say, his opening statement, the four big points he wanted to hit, and his responses to everything, including the third question, which is my question, about 3 years. Why he chose 3 years, why that time span, why was that enough, why was that proper for him to choose that amount of time. So I'm very happy to be bringing that to you right after this conversation with my partners that help make everything that I do in my company get out to you and truly be special. I only work with companies I believe in, companies I trust, and companies that I know have treated people well, companies I know that I've used their products and services and I was respected. So we talk about somebody being human. Well, taking money from anybody, that's not being human. People tell you that's being human. That's not being human. Anybody that works for my company, I'm human. Because I can sleep at night knowing that I told you that they were a good place to go to. Because I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't work with them. That's what makes me different, the humanity. And Jim Boeheim was different today. Thursday, March 19th, 2015. Because in the most important press conference he's ever had in his life, he was human. And you'll hear that in just a few moments after these words from the partners that I respect and appreciate and thank God for so very much for being a part of my team. You'll hear from them, and then we'll be back at it. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, the free Wake Up Call DT app, and the iTunes podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary, or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At DreisigApparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreisigApparel.com. That's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, and all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors always in stock on FanHands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory, FanHands.com. That's FanHands.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. Coming up right now, as promised, is Jim Boeheim, who you can listen in to what he had to say, his press conference where he spoke about the sanctions that were handed down to the university, to him, to the 4 points that he wanted to hit that he thought were crucial to answering questions, including my question about why 3 years to go deeper into that number of three and why he felt that that was the number that sufficed for everything that's been going on. So without further ado, we're going to listen to the intro of Jim Boeheim. This is what he has to say coming in to the press conference, what I consider the biggest press conference of his life and potentially the best press conference he's had in his time as coach of Syracuse University men's basketball program. So here is Jim Boeheim touching on 4 key points that he took away from the NCAA's report and more in his introduction statement right now.
Good morning, everyone. As the head coach of the Syracuse University men's basketball team, I take great pride in what our program has accomplished on and off the court for the past 39 years. Ultimately, as head coach, I must also accept responsibility for the conduct of individuals within the program, including those who have found to have committed violations of NCAA rules as outlined in the NCAA Division I Committee on Infractions recently released report. And I do regret that these violations happened, and I apologize for any harm it has brought to my players and the university or embarrassment it has caused to our alumni, students, and fans. Although the infractions report does not find that I had personal involvement in any violations of NCAA rules, the Committee on Infractions has asserted that for the past 10 years, I did not promote an atmosphere of compliance within the men's basketball program, and I did not monitor the activities regarding compliance of those within the program. This could not be further from the truth. You have heard this story from the NCAA's point of view. Today, I'd like to share my perspectives. There are 4 key areas that I want to address: head coach responsibility, allegations of academic fraud, impermissible benefits, and the athletic department's voluntary drug testing policy. First, I believe in the NCAA's head coach responsibility bylaw and what it stands for. A head coach should be presumed responsible for violations of NCAA rules that occur within their program. I agree fully with that responsibility. That is why, as a member of the Board of Directors of the National Association of Basketball Coaches, I voted for the implementation of the Head Coach Responsibility Bylaw in 2005. However, I also believe that a head coach should have the opportunity to rebut the presumption of responsibility stated in the head coach responsibility bylaw by demonstrating that he promoted an atmosphere of compliance within the program and that he monitored the activities regarding compliance of those within the program. The head coach responsibility bylaw is not and was never intended to be a rule of strict liability. In our case, however, the committee imposed penalties on me personally without giving credence to my efforts to promote compliance within the men's basketball program, which is contrary to the head coach responsibility bylaw. In fact, in 2011, when the NCAA enforcement staff issued its first notice of allegations to Syracuse University, I was not charged with a violation of the head coach responsibility bylaw because of my non-involvement in the underlying violation and because of my devotion to promoting compliance within the men's basketball program. It was not until the second notice of allegations was issued to the university that I was charged with a violation of the head coach responsibility bylaw. In the intervening years, the charges against the university did not change. There were still no direct violations of NCAA bylaws alleged against me. Nevertheless, at that time, I even offered to make myself available to the NCAA enforcement staff for an additional interview to discuss the atmosphere of compliance within the men's basketball program, something that the enforcement staff had not specifically asked me about in my prior interviews. But the enforcement staff declined to listen to the additional information that I had. I want to stress again that I take responsibility for violation of NCAA rules that occurred within the basketball program. However, I believe that my effort to promote an atmosphere of compliance with the men's basketball program was disregarded by the enforcement staff and the Committee on Infractions. And that ultimately resulted in my suspension for the first 9 ACC games of the 2015-2016 season. What basis do I have for this assertion? Since 1992, I, along with the other members of the men's basketball staff, have participated in monthly meetings with the Office of Athletic Compliance. My staff and I are in constant communication regarding compliance matters, and I have ensured that open lines of communication exist within the program with respect to compliance matters, both directly to me and to the Office of Athletic Compliance. I meet with my staff on an almost daily basis to discuss compliance matters. My assistant coaches and staff members know the NCAA rules and know that we must follow them. Second, regarding academic fraud, well, I'm frustrated with the Committee on Infractions finding that I did not promote an atmosphere of compliance within the men's basketball program. I am most disappointed with the committee's suggestion that academic improprieties were accepted and encouraged within the men's basketball program. Though I take full responsibility for what has happened, I could not disagree more with this assessment. And I believe that the facts support my view. Even though many players come to Syracuse with the goal of playing in the NBA, we demand that our team members, our student athletes, doing the required work in the classroom as well as on the court. This is why I have been a longtime proponent of the academic progress rate. With the exception of the 2008-2009 academic year, when we had 3 student athletes withdraw from the university during the spring semester to prepare for the NBA draft, the men's basketball program has consistently earned an APR well in excess of the minimum required by the NCAA to maintain eligibility to compete in NCAA championships. Even before the implementation of the APR, however, I worked closely with student athlete support services to ensure that our student athletes are appropriately focused on their academic responsibility and that they have the resources necessary to excel off the court. To this day, I meet daily with our academic coordinator to discuss the academic progress and success of our student athletes. Between 2008 and 2014, 11 of our 13 seniors graduated. We have an APR score of 1,000, a perfect score, in each of the last 2 years. I believe this shows we are paying attention to the academic welfare of our student athletes. In case of academic violations involving our former student athlete, it is clear from the infractions report that these violations occurred because our former director of basketball operations took it upon himself to provide impermissible academic assistance. The Committee on Infractions suggested I somehow did not do enough to promote compliance or monitor the activities regarding compliance of the former director of basketball operation. This is not true. I engaged in daily meetings with this individual regarding the academic progress of all our student athletes, and in particular, the student athlete identified in the infractions report. When I learned that this student athlete was permitted to seek a grade change open to all students in his college, all students, not student athletes, he could seek a grade change to restore his eligibility. I made it abundantly clear that the grade change should be done in accordance with university policies that apply to all Syracuse students. I was concerned with the welfare of this student athlete, but I never expected, and I certainly never encouraged, these individuals to cheat. This is not my way. Nevertheless, the Committee on Infractions assumes that because a violation occurred, it must have occurred because of my failure to promote compliance. This is an interpretation of strict liability and contrary to NCAA legislation and to my decades-long commitment to compliance and academic success. The Committee on Infractions suggested in its report that there was a 10-year period which I failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance, and during which student athletes within the men's basketball program, and I quote, freely committed academic fraud. In fact, during that 10-year period, after an extensive investigation, there was one case of academic fraud in the men's basketball program. This involved the former director of basketball operation and a receptionist in the basketball facility improperly inserting citation into a student athlete's paper. Three other student athletes were charged by the enforcement staff with receiving impermissible extra benefits. These student athletes had their cases reviewed by the university's Academic Integrity Office, and the university ultimately determined that no academic integrity violations had been established. This is far from a program where student athletes freely committed academic fraud. I note that during the same time period, the committee found that three student athletes in the football program did commit academic fraud. These infractions did not go unnoticed, but the penalties on the football program were far less than what was imposed on the basketball program. Does the central issue of head coach responsibility apply only to the basketball program? This illustrates the arbitrary manner in which the NCAA issues its penalties, not just from school to school, but even within a single institution. Third, with respect to the issues with a former employee of the Oneida YMCA, I knew this individual to be a part-time employee of the YMCA who showed an interest in working with troubled youth, both student-athletes and non-student-athletes. There was no reason to believe that this man would provide impermissible benefits to student-athletes. In fact, before our student-athletes were permitted to spend time volunteering at the Y, this man was vetted by the Office of Athletic Compliance. and was given strict instruction on what he was and was not permitted to do under NCAA rules. It was not until after the NCAA investigation began that I learned that this man had provided impermissible benefits to student athletes. I did not, as the Committee on Infractions suggests, know that any violations had occurred. Had I known that, I would have taken action. Fourth, I'd like to address the university's drug testing policy. The university implemented this policy for the benefit of its student athletes. Despite the fact that the university was not required to do so under NCAA legislation, and we were among only a handful of Division I schools with such a policy. Although I supported the policy, I did not write it, and I had no input into its development. Likewise, I did not administer the policy, nor did I have any decision-making authority with respect to the administration of the policy. I was told by the administrator of the drug policy when a player could or could not practice or play in a game. Again, I fully accept as the head coach of the men's basketball program that I am responsible for the conduct of everyone within our program. And I deeply regret that any violations occurred in our program because one violation is one too many. However, given the circumstance, I believe that the penalty imposed on the university as a whole and me individually are unduly harsh. And I feel that the NCAA is punishing current and future student athletes for the conduct of a few individuals who are no longer associated in any way with Syracuse University. For these reasons, I have chosen to appeal the Committee on Infractions decision. I believe in what we are doing at Syracuse University, and I will continue to build on the great program that we have established. In addition, in conclusion, regarding my future, I am 70 years old. It's obvious that there is a time frame for me as the head basketball coach. As the chancellor indicated in his statement yesterday, I feel 3 years is right for me to be able to continue to do my job as well as I possibly can. The approaching completion of the investigation actually prompted me to clarify in my own mind my plans for the future and my decision to establish that timeline with Chancellor Severin. 3 years is probably longer than I was planning prior to this investigation. However, given all of these developments, it is the right time for the program. In my confidence, we have a great coach who will be working with me every day to help inform recruits regarding the time period I will be here. They will know exactly when I will be here and when I will leave. So all of our recruits will understand what is going to happen when, in most cases, coaches leave and everybody is stuck. Everybody that's coming in knows that I will be here for 3 years. They committed to coming in before they knew that, and they committed to staying here before they knew that. I told every recruit when I recruited them, I'm going to coach you next year. And after that, I can't guarantee anything, and no other coach can either. But I think we're unique in being able to tell recruits that you only have to listen to me for 3 years, or two, or one. And I've talked to several recruits, obviously, about this, and if anybody's concerned about our recruiting or whether we can recruit, I don't think that's an issue. We're giving notice, and we'll explain that to all our recruits. I believe the program will be in a great position when I do retire. Thank you. I'll be glad to take your questions, as always.
We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app, as well as the Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora iTunes free podcast. Make sure you tune in all of those ways, wakeupcalldt.com. Google Play Store, search Wake Up Call DT. And for iTunes, you can go to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. The name of the show is the name of the iTunes podcast. And, of course, with Apple, it's wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile to download the app. That is wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E. So make sure you download the app there for your iPhone, iPad, and iPod. We'll be right back here with Jim Boeheim as he begins to answer questions from that press conference that was the ever-important press conference that truly, truly was different from anything I've ever experienced with Jim Boeheim. That's coming up next here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G, Lady.com, with the Bamboo Line Relax Fit Clothing, as well as the Athletic Fit Clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel, D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G, lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing, and don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G, lady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's CAMS Pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to. Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport, but at the same same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 feet for free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 feet for free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 feet for free. Give back to them today. Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, as well as the free Wake Up Call DT app you can find on the Google Play Store by searching Wake Up Call DT. You can also find it for all Apple products by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. That's WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/MOBILE. And you can also get it on iTunes by searching the podcast Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. The name of the show is the name of the podcast on iTunes, and it is free for you. You can download the shows. You can listen to them later. You can put some on your hit list to make sure that you go back and listen to. So thank you so much. However you're listening, I truly appreciate it. And of course, on WakeUpCallDT.com, you can't just listen. You can listen, watch, and read. So a lot more there to watch and read, as well as listening into the shows that you've listened to, 480-plus, including this baby right here. So thank you so much for listening in, tuning in. Jim Boeheim, him and I have had some conversations, as I was talking about earlier in the show, one-on-one in his office. We've talked, obviously, in post-game press conferences, and it's truly meant a lot. I feel like there is a mutual respect there. And I had an opportunity to ask him a question in this press conference, which I thought was a monumental one that will always be a piece of history for all basketball, not just with Syracuse or the ACC. And in my opportunity, I talked to him about the 3 years, which you'll hear coming up. There's a few questions, talk on Mike Hopkins coming up, and a few other things as now Boeheim begins to address the media's questions, and he's done with what he had to say. And I think that this is a part, which I've said before, goes unnoticed, underappreciated, how difficult it is. You know, when you come out there and you go to the mic and you have that opening statement, you can say whatever you want to say. You could talk for 20 minutes, you could talk for 4 minutes, you could talk for 1 minute, you could talk for a half an hour. But then when you say, all right, I'll open it up to questions, you don't know what's coming to you. Now, Boeheim, based on the NCAA sanctions and Mike Hopkins and the 3 years and all of that, he could think, okay, there's going to be some key points that I have to be ready for, but you don't know what's going to be asked, how it's going to be asked, when it's going to be asked, who's going to be asking it, how they're going to word it, all of that. So I give Jim Boeheim a lot of credit in this press conference because I think he answered every question, handled every question well. I feel like he really honestly was thorough. He wasn't rude. He wasn't disrespectful. He didn't get pissed off. He kept his composure, and he was willing to answer each question, even if he thought he had answered it before or in a different respect. So let's listen in on what Jim Boeheim had to say when he first opened up to questions at this monumental press conference, including my question, which is the one you'll hear on the 3 years, why he chose 3 years, and what he thinks about that time frame. And he'll go into a lot of things. I don't want to give it away. So if you haven't listened, it's coming up right now. If you have listened, great to hear it back. Here is Jim Boeheim giving the media an opportunity to ask him what they think is important.
Hey, Coach, so does that mean Mike Hopkins, the succession plan is still in place for him to replace that on a full-time basis?
I have to answer that question in a lengthy statement because it reads so many things, and you know, one of them is that I make all the decisions at Syracuse University, and that's why we're still playing in Manly Fieldhouse, I guess. It was my decision, my complete decision, play in Manly Fieldhouse. And I guess that didn't happen. That was a big decision. I have said my wife is the only one that tells me anything, and I'm not really. It was a joke in my book that she tells me what to wear, and nobody else does. People tell me every day what to do. my assistant coach and say, "Coach, you got to go here. Coach, you got to go here. Coach, you got to talk to this guy." Every day. It's a myth that I somehow run things at Syracuse University. I did not really want to go to the Big East in any way, shape, or form. Oh, we were in the Big East for 30 years. I guess that wasn't my decision. Those are the two most important decisions that were made here, and I would have made the wrong one. Maybe that's why I don't make those decisions. I don't decide who hires, who's hired at Syracuse University, whether it's the chancellor or the athletic director or the compliance officer or the person who I work directly with. I've worked directly with three people over the last long time. I didn't know who they were until they came in and introduced themselves. I don't hire anybody. Chancellor Severu will hire the next coach. It's his decision who the next coach will be. I have talked to him about it. I believe Mike Hopkins will be a great coach, and I fervently hope that he is the coach here. But that's something the chancellor will decide with the board of trustees, like they decide every major issue that happens at Syracuse University. And I decide sometimes what restaurants my family are going to eat. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
Jim, I want to be clear when you said that the enforcement staff declined to listen to the additional information we had, did they not sit down and talk with you, or they did and just didn't listen to you?
No, they didn't sit down. We requested another interview because, as I said, we were not charged in the entire first two stages of the issues we had with that. And they never asked me in the earlier interviews about, you know, "Coach, what did you do?" And I think, you know, that's probably why I wasn't under that. I wasn't charged. And the head coach responsibility was active from 2005. But they declined to interview me again on that specific area.
Jim, when you look at the... Jim, when you look at 3 years, and like you said, maybe that wasn't the time that you had before, but it is the time you have now, to just go into why 3 years really fits for you and fits for this program.
And I think, I don't know if I made this clear enough. I guess, I sometimes don't do that. There was no way, you know, when this started, obviously, you know, there was a 2-3 year time frame. So there would have been no way that I would ever run away from an investigation in progress. The fact that it continued, there was no way that I was going to ever leave this university after 53 years of being the, other than my family, this is it, this is the focus of my life, that someone would think that I would not see this through to the end. I had no plans to coach this long. This investigation has made it imperative. I mean, I didn't even have, I never, the reason I never thought about retirement, because there was no thought, no way to think about it during this time. I mean, the Final Four in 12 would have been a great time to go out, but things were not in a position to go out. I love coaching. But I think you can coach as long as you can be effective. If after this coming year, I thought I was effective this year. I don't think I was as good as I would like to have been, but I think I was effective. If I'm not effective at the end of next year, I won't coach after next year. I mean, that's the 3 year thing is the outside part of what I'm doing. I told every recruit we recruited this year, I'm going to be here next year, but beyond that, you know, I have no plans, but 3 years is that's a long time. That's a long time.
We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app. When we come back, more from Jim Boeheim addressing the media's questions, the questions that have been on people's minds about Fab Mello, Mike Hopkins, 3 years, all of that. Everything's coming up even more so as we continue on here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora in this special that brings you the entire Jim Boeheim press conference that will be etched in history forever, a press conference where I truly felt he was a better Boeheim, more human than he's ever been. It's coming up next here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary, or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At DreisigApparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreisigApparel.com. That's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G Apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, and all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, the free Wake Up Call DT app for Google Play and all Apple products, and the iTunes podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Very happy to be bringing you right now more from Jim Boeheim, as this is something that even if you saw it live, even if you heard it, even if you read about it, whatever it may be, this is like a memento. This is a show where you take this Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora episode and you download it to your computer, or you download it to your phone, you star it, you go back and listen to it. This is something that you want to keep. You know, when your kids are growing up, you're like, hey, you know, Dad's always been a Syracuse fan. And remember how, you know, somebody was talking about you about this moment or talking to you about what happened with Jim Boeheim. You know, listen. You know, in my case, I feel extremely blessed if I'm given that opportunity from God to have children or grandchildren, whatever it may be, to be able to go to them and say, you know about Jim Boeheim, and you know, because he's going to live on forever in the history of sports, not just college athletics and not just basketball. And to say, you know, Daddy got a chance to go to this press conference, and Daddy talked to him, and you know, this is what he had to say when Daddy asked him a question. And I think, you know, going back to that moment, even if it's 3 days after the moment happens, or 3 years, or 30 years, this is one of those press conferences that, as much as I know a lot of people watched it, I want you to have it. You know, this is my free gift to you to say, you know, keep this. Keep it in your pocket. Anytime you want to go back and listen to Jim Boeheim, where he's been more thorough, I think, than he's ever been when it comes to things that don't have to do with basketball, you know, this is it. So we're going to listen in to more from Jim Boeheim addressing the media's questions right now.
Coach, regarding the NCAA report, you talked about rebutting the responsibility,
right,
presumption of responsibility.
Right.
In the report, they say that you did not rebut the presumption of responsibility. You rebutted facts. You said it didn't work this way, but that presumption of responsibility, that you did not rebut it.
Well, that's what I said today, how I did rebut it right here in my statement, that we did have meetings, that we did have academic meetings, that we did have compliance meetings. Every month we have compliance meetings with our players twice a year. I'm not throwing any programs under the bus. There are many schools that don't have compliance meetings with their basketball staff the whole year. We have monthly ones, and we're tested on it. So that's part of the presumption, how you rebut the presumption, that you did do things, that you did monitor things. I'll add one thing that I think is important that I didn't, that will be in the appeal process. The paper in question. I am not allowed to look at papers, and I think that's a good thing. I'm not allowed to talk to professors. I think that's a good thing. I could have taken the paper, looked at the paper. You could have looked at the paper. Anybody in academia could have looked at the paper and not known that two citations were put into the paper. You could not have known that. There is no way. The only person that could know that is the person who changed the paper.
What about the student? What about Fab Mello? How do you think that he suddenly wrote a better paper, or a paper that qualified, that made him eligible?
The paper, and this is important, was a 10-page paper on his life. The Infractions Committee asked me, how could he write that paper in 2 days? I said, I think I could write that paper in 4 hours. And I think each and every one of us could write that paper in 4 hours. And I'd like to just make a comment here. Everyone that has been admitted to Syracuse University since I've been here is fully capable of doing the work here. That has been put in several national articles that we admitted, not being specific here, people who could not do the work here. That is the furthest thing from the truth. He was completely eligible to any standard, more so than about 50% of athletes in the country in terms of what he did academically. So that is there's been a mischaracterization by the constant number of critics who say all of these guys shouldn't be in college. We have never, no, first of all, I don't admit people here. But Syracuse University has never admitted somebody here in the basketball room since I've been here that could not do the work here, who was not qualified. And we have had many at-risk students, as does every college in the country. Every college in the country. And we have graduated, those guys have graduated here in 4 years. We have a senior center who was a little bit of an at-risk student. He qualified under the at-risk student. So we shouldn't have taken him, and we wouldn't have had Rakeem Christmas here, who graduated in 3 years and has completed half of his master's program in 1 year. You don't want to take that guy? I think there's a little racism involved when they start talking about not taking this guy or that guy. He's from a foreign country. We shouldn't have foreign students at Syracuse University. The last I looked, there's well over 2,000 foreign students at Syracuse University. We shouldn't have somebody here because he's from a foreign country? I don't think so. I don't think that's the way we want to go. But to finish your point, I think we did rebut the presumption. The Committee on Infractions chose not to accept that we did. And, you know, that's the basis for going forward with an appeal. I disagree with that, as I said in my statement.
Coach Bay, you mentioned the differences between the basketball and football program in the NCAA report. I'm wondering if you have a theory as to why the basketball program seems to be the recipient of most of the NCAA penalties.
I don't know. I wish I knew the answer to that question. I know that, you know, and I don't want the football program to be penalized. I love the football program. I've supported it. I've been to every game here since I've been here. They were the first student-athletes to go to the Y. The first. They were involved, obviously, in the drug testing program. They had three cases of academic fraud. There were no charges brought. I don't know the answer to that. That's something they would have to answer.
Coach, going back to Mike Hopkins, having been designated as the head coach in waiting and considering your long-time relationship with him, are you personally disappointed that no assurance can be given to him today that he will be the next coach?
No, I don't think that's important right now. I think today what's important is to handle what I have to do here. I'm going to be the coach for 3 years. Mike will have talks with the chancellor, as I will, but this is a chancellor's decision, not my decision. This again goes back to Jim Boeheim runs the university. Well, I assure you, if I did, I wouldn't be the 45th highest paid coach in the country. Which I'm not complaining about.
Jim, do you have an option to go past 3 years if you want it?
I the only discussions that I've had with the chancellor is that I intend to retire in 3 years. And he accepted that, and that's where we are.
Is that kind of set? I mean, it's going to happen?
I stand by that statement.
Coach, I'll meet you in the middle. Sorry. Coach, you know, now that you've set kind of the date, there's going to be a lot of talk about the long farewell, the legacy. What are your thoughts on that?
You think they won't woo me at Duke this year? No, I don't think there's any farewell. I'm not Derek Jeter. I saw it. No. There will be no farewell tour. No. It was funny when they said they now booed me after the allegations at North Carolina State. I actually thought when we were there last time they booed me more. So I think there was a sympathetic feeling there, actually. When I go into an arena and they cheer for me, I'll know it's time.
Jacob? Jim, in relation to the paper with the Fatimalo, you said you met with Academic Services daily, but the paper was being revised a year after the class had been taken and failed.
Right.
Can you explain the timing there?
Yeah, I can. It's open to any student on campus to, on his own, find a professor in that college and ask if a change of grade is possible. There's another story out there that he had an F and changed it to a B. He had a C minus. He needed to petition the teacher if he could do work that would result in a grade change. The teacher agreed to that. I know there's hundreds of these grade changes that happen. I had one when I was in school. I know they happen at other schools. You might, a professor, former dean, I think, said that I never gave any grade changes. Good for him. That means all the professors that do that are not academically sound, I guess. Is that what he's implying? I don't think that's a good implication. It's the Committee on Infractions asked me, Coach, why did you do this? Why did you let this happen? Let him go get this grade change? I said, that's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to at least inform every guy, well, you have to get a grade change if you want to be eligible. You don't have to. This is what you have to do. This is what you need to do. And I think that's very normal. I think that's what other students do. And he had that opportunity. He found somebody, a teacher that would do that. He knew he was writing a paper about his life. I wasn't really concerned about the content. He's not writing the Spanish Inquisition, which you've got to, obviously, need a 10-page paper on that. And I did a story on the American Revolution, a 17-page paper, in one night. I guess I might be able to go back and look at my academics. But it took me one night. I had 32 quotations. But I did it myself. Nobody checked that paper. So I think everybody does their academics in a different way. But it was clear to me that he could do this paper. We played on Saturday in Notre Dame and Monday at Cincinnati, and I was talking back and forth during that time. He was writing the paper. I wasn't physically here. But when I got back, I checked immediately. Is the paper done? It needs to be. Is there anything? Going forward? No. There was no thought in my mind that he couldn't do this paper. And I had absolute, you hire people, you work with people. You have to have trust in those people. Someone said, well, if I'm told by my boss I don't do it, that means there's nobody in jail in the country for embezzlement or stealing, whatever. I clearly said, and we hired somebody, and I don't know if this is clear to everybody, who was in charge of academics at a major university for men's and women's basketball, who absolutely knew, as would you or anyone, you cannot put citations in somebody's paper. But we talked about this. Doing the paper, he does it, he does his own work, he does it the right way. I really wasn't concerned about him doing his own work because it was right now his life story. I don't think he could have got that from somebody else. So I didn't have pause on that. I didn't push it. The paper was in early in the week. The teacher accepted it on like a Wednesday. It went over to Arts and Science like everybody else does. They would not process it. We had a game Saturday. We were playing West Virginia Saturday at home. I would have liked to have them play, but they did not process this. I called no one. I didn't call a soul. That's not my job. I do not interfere in the academics. They checked to my reporting back to me. They checked with the teacher. They went through the process, which they wouldn't do with any other student. They went through that whole process, and he was not cleared to play for Saturday's game. It was not until the following week. again, even if I could have looked at that paper, I could not have told you somebody put citations in this paper. So, again, I don't know. I asked the Committee on Infractions, what more did you want me to do? There was no answer. There's no answer in the report of what, you know, I should do in that situation.
The discussion of the paper, you could go and do this paper and improve your grade. That happened after he became eligible, though, right?
Yeah.
And just one more question on a separate note. You didn't craft the drug policy. You weren't responsible for administering it, as you said. It also says in the report that you didn't call parents, which was a part of the drug policy.
That's right.
How do you differentiate between administrating and not doing that part of the policy?
That is, I had one part. I didn't administer who played or who couldn't play, who practiced or who didn't practice. The drug policy, and I took responsibility for that, and I do now. No one knew that if you have a policy and you don't follow it exactly step by step, it's the same as violating an NCAA rule. No coach in the country would have known that. I'll accept responsibility. I'll take the punishment. I mean, to me, if you're driving down the highway at 95 miles an hour and you get pulled over, you aren't going to say, well, I didn't know what the speed limit was here. If you're driving down the highway, it's posted 65, you go around the corner, there's no sign there, and you get arrested around the corner. And the trooper gives you a ticket and says it's 45 here. And you've never been on that road before, you have the chance to mitigate that. No one knew. If I had known, I talked to all the parents of guys who had a problem with the drug testing. We had nobody test positive for anything except one substance in the entire drug testing program. Several guys that were tested was one time only. And the reason why, there was two reasons I didn't call the parents. One, on the first, trust to me is the most important thing. And the athletic director knew I didn't call the parents. Trust is the most important thing. If you're a first-time offender, you're a senior or a junior, and I bring you in and say, this is the first time you've done this, if you do it again, I'm going to talk to your parents. If you don't, you're fine. And they, four guys, never tested again. So it was a trust matter. It was a mistake. And as I told the committee, if I had known that was a rule, which is not an excuse, but in this case, we were one of the only programs in the country testing for drugs. We had many compliance meetings. It was never brought up in a compliance meeting, well, coach, you know, if you have this drug testing policy, you have to call the parent. And there were other issues with some parents that I'm not going to go into today, but it wouldn't have been productive to call the parent. I'm not going to get into specific cases. But yes, I take responsibility for that aspect. To me, the crucial part of the drug testing program is you let somebody practice or play when they shouldn't have. I never made that call. I was told what to do. If I'm told not to do something, that, a press conference, I don't do it. Because I work for people. Okay.
Coach, we saw a response from a recruit yesterday that said they want to help you go out and win the national championship. Does that sort of support and rallying program been universal in what you've encountered since everything happened?
You know, it's obvious that people are going to support what we've done here, and they might be right or wrong, obviously. But I appreciate the support that we have here, that we've always had here, and that we continue to have. And I think the biggest thing to me is, can there's no goal change here. We're going to try to win everything we can every year. There's nothing new. And the biggest response I've had initially, and really for a while, is players want to come here, they want to play for me, they want to play for Mike because they know he's a great coach. And the Adrian's here, and Jerry McNamara. That's why players want to come to Syracuse. It's a great school with a great reputation. And when you look at the facts in the case, to me, everything is serious. There is no excuse on anything, but academics is the most important area. And I think that's clear to everybody. We had one case of academic fraud after an extensive 10-year investigation.
Two more questions.
I'll answer as many questions as people want to ask.
The report makes mention of a former academic staffer being a little apprehensive and pushing forward about issues.
This is a great question.
And he cited, you know, maybe basketball has a perceived advantage.
Yeah.
And he was mindful that a former employee might have pushed it out. What was your reaction to reading those comments? Do you agree with them?
The former employee that he was referring to was Terry McDonald, who was here for 20 years, who was awarded the Hardwood Club Medal, who was one of the great people I know and is a great friend of mine today. And she was instrumental in us having great academic support for her 20 years here. And that is the most fallacious statement I have ever heard from somebody, that she was pushed out. Ever. And I've heard a lot of it. But in the second part of that, I met with the former head of student services probably on 8 or 10 occasions. We never had an angry word. I never said, you need to do this, you need to do that. We talked about different issues that come up in the program over time. I always talk to the people from the Department of Student Services who dealt directly with us, and our players, and our staff did. I never had an argument or a harsh word with him ever. There was never anything from me to him that would indicate that he was intimidated. Let me give you another example. I go to eat at a restaurant and the waitress says, "Oh, you intimidate me, coach." Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? I intimidate some reporters just because I might look at them funny. But does that mean I'm going to do something to them? I mean, what does that really mean when you say that? Did he think I was, if he didn't do exactly what I said, which I never said anything to him. If you don't get this done, I'm going to get you fired? Did he think that way? If he did, he has no, I've never gotten anybody fired. I've never fired anybody. Since I've been here, in my area or any other area. So I don't know. I mean, I've been told that I intimidate people. I don't do it intentionally. Somebody said I was a bully. I'm funny. I chide people at press conferences, but that's like an act. That's not what I do personally with people. I don't think anybody in my life has ever called me a bully. Does that answer the question?
We'll take our final step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, the free Wake Up Call DT app that you can get for Apple products as well as from the Google Play Store, and the free iTunes podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Over 480 shows available for you. It updates itself. The app is there for you. I want to thank Apple and Google Play for making the app easy to use. It's as simple as 3 clicks. You click on the app, you click on the show you want to listen to, and you hit play. You can use it with Bluetooth, with an auxiliary cable, you can put your headphones in. Whatever you want to do with it, it is the radio that travels with you everywhere you go, that is always available, never loses its signal. It's sports radio for you 24/7, 365. And when you add that February 29th, the show's there for you too. So even in the leap year, we got you covered. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for tuning in. There's more from Jim Boeheim as we wrap it up here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, right after we hear from our partners that help make all of this possible. So listen to them, and then we'll listen to Jim Boeheim a little bit more here where sports meets life.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or ice milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, DreissigLady.com, ladycom, with the Bamboo line Relax Fit clothing as well as the Athletic Fit clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel. DreissigLady.com ladycom. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing and don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreissigLady.com ladycom.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You got to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to. Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport, but at the same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 Feet for Free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 Feet for Free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 Feet for Free. Give back to them today. Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. The free Wake Up Call DT app that you can get for Apple products by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. That's WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. So that's for all Apple products. For the Google Play Store, search Wake Up Call DT. It's all one word. Go to the Google Play Store, search Wake Up Call DT. D as in Dan, T as in Tortora. That'll bring you the app for free. And Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, the name of the show, is the name of the iTunes podcast. Go to iTunes podcast, search Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, and you can download, listen later, favorite, whatever you want to do with all the shows. You can make sure that you always have them at your disposal, always in your pocket, so to speak, for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. So I want to thank all the technology as I continue to move in this era to reach out to you and get out to you. I was on traditional radio for a very long time, and there's a lot of things I respect and I appreciate about traditional radio. But in the same respect, I appreciate this part of it. You know, I appreciate always being available to you. I appreciate always having an opportunity to air at any time. I don't have to wait. You know, if Jim Boeheim does something on a Tuesday and my show's on a Saturday and it's been talked about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, you know, some people are talked out, but thankfully a lot of people wanted to hear my opinion when I was in that situation, and you still want to hear my opinion, which I'm very grateful for. But now I could do it. If it happens on Tuesday, I can air it on Tuesday. If it's something that I want to take some time and I want to think about, I can air it whenever I want, however I want, and it's great to have the studio that I have. It really is a blessing to be in the studio that I'm in and know that that studio is always available. So I want to thank God. I want to thank all my supporters, my family, my friends, all of you that have tuned in, that have read my articles, that have become members, that have joined fan challenges and fantasy football, March Madness that I've done, and so many other things, that have come out to my events with sports figures to get autographs and take pictures and listen to our live shows. Just everybody, everyone that's seen me on television, seen me on the radio, you know, heard me on the radio. If you saw me on the radio, you need to call a doctor. You might have some special powers. But it's really honestly been a blessing. And I'm trying to look at technology as a positive thing, because I know a lot of people see it as a negative thing. But I'm really trying to spin it positively and bring a positive welcoming to all of this technology. The fact that you can have an iTunes podcast and a Google Play Store app and an Apple app and a website, and to have all that mean something and to be a hub for people and a sanctuary for people. You know, I've always felt like it's good to be a getaway for people. You know, make them laugh, make them cry happy tears, you know, give them something that's fun, original, exciting. And when you have something like a press conference like this Jim Boeheim one where it's being played all over the world, you know, make it interactive, make it different, give it an intro, have a different feel to it. And that was my whole "he was human today" side that I've brought to this episode, and to really give it to you in a different light instead of just merely handing it to you and saying, you know, here's a couple parts I thought were important. I'm willing to give you all of it, and I always give you my all in bringing you something that truly is different and exciting and memorable. So I truly hope that I have brought happiness to your lives and given you something to smile about. So we're going to listen in to Jim Boeheim's remainder of his press conference, what he had to say in this press conference after the NCAA sanctions, after Kent Siverud's emails that he had sent out on the sanctions, on what they agree and disagree with, on Jim Boeheim's future, on Dr. Gross no longer being the director of athletics, on Pete Salah being the interim athletic director, all of that. So many things went on, and then Boeheim was nice enough to take the podium, and I think that, you know, I think this was a very big thing. And I was out of town for the ACC tournament, and I said, if he goes up to a podium in that week and I'm gone, I'm flipping out. And he thankfully did it a few days after I got back. So things always work out when you're following the big guy upstairs. And I'm talking about God, not Boeheim. Even though some people think that Boeheim is, he is not. I will give it to you that he is a sports figure that will always be in the history of athletics. But he is not God. He is nowhere close. And that is not a disrespectful statement. It's a disrespectful statement if I said he was God. So, you know, in the sense of, you know, God is a lot more than sports and mere human beings. And I think we all know that. So, you know, Jim Boeheim is a good coach, but he is not God. Even though it's been said on my show before that he was. There was a former player that said that. So that's why you got to listen in. Always interesting. People always throw you a curveball every once in a while. But I'm very happy to bring you the remainder of the press conference that I was sitting in on being a part of history. Just thinking about myself as a little kid growing up in Syracuse and then sitting in the front row filming this and recording this Jim Boeheim press conference. You can watch the video on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. Here's the rest of it right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora.
Coach, Chancellor discussing it about an hour ago. A report came out on March 6th, 2 weeks ago tomorrow. He had the NC State game the next day. He said he had conversations with you before the NC State game, particularly about whether you would make comments after the game.
Yes.
Can you describe what happened in terms of those conversations, that decision, and how you felt about sending Mike Hopkins out after the game?
I didn't send Mike Hopkins out after the game, number one. I wanted to do the press conference and limit it, obviously, to basketball, which is always going to bring up, I can't comment on that, can't comment on that, a few times before you leave. So that was something we discussed. I still wanted to do the press conference, however, because in our preparation for the game, I had not read the report closely. You know, you look at it, but we're trying to play a game. So I didn't think it was really a great idea to go out there without knowing anything really to answer, and those questions are going to be asked. I mean, I'm going to go to the podium and I'm going to say something about the game, then every question after that is going to be about the report. So it wouldn't have been a productive press conference. Mike would do that as well or better than I could in terms of here's what happened in the game. But I would have gone. I was counseled not to go, and I don't find tremendous fault with that. I think you might find fault with the dozens of articles that I've read where people said I was a coward without knowing, well, were you told to do the president? Nobody asked me. Nobody's ever asked me that. Nobody's ever asked anybody, to my knowledge. So the assumption is made you didn't, you know, you sent Mike Hopkins out there. You're a coward. I never sent anybody out anywhere, and I did not make that decision. Again, if you believe that I make all the decisions here, then, you know, you're under some delusion. I hope I've tried to dispel that today a little bit. Maybe. I don't know.
Jim, I know you said you're in favor of the coach's accountability law, and you can't control everybody, obviously. But if it doesn't apply to your director of basketball operations and his direct behavior, who did it apply to?
I don't think you understand, Chris, the rule. The rule is I'm responsible for his behavior unless I can show that I have rebutted it. That's a big difference. No coaches, if you look at your fired coaches, no coach has ever been fired for not having control. Not one. You can write, you can go, you had 20 cases in there. Every one that a coach was fired, he did it. He did it. If I had told somebody, put these in here, get this fixed, do this, do that, I would be fired.
I laid out the circumstances. I thought that was...
You did, but I'm saying you never laid out a circumstance. You never came to the conclusion that, whoops, no coach has ever been fired. And coaches, even now, in this case, have not been held to that rule. I am being held to that rule, and I accept that. But there is a presumption of fairness also within the NCAA.
I never said you should be fired. I just think that...
No, I didn't say you did.
Okay, just want to make sure.
But when you put a lot of articles in there about these guys are fired, it leads people that maybe aren't smart like me to think, well, maybe he's saying the coach should be fired. No. I think the coverage has been fine. It's been fair with your paper. I disagree with things like I always do, and that's if I didn't, then you wouldn't be doing a good job, I'm sure. I disagree with a couple things that my esteemed colleagues, Mike and Donna, did, which I will have a discussion with them about at some time. But we've had those discussions. Do I not like them? I do like them. I hope you know that. and I hope that you have, well, at least some. I won't say luck. You do like me, don't you, Don? Thank you.
Can you take us through the time frame of the discussion with Kent on setting the retirement date and when you guys started talking about it?
Yeah, we've talked about it. We've had conversations.
Before?
Before. And I think that it has always been open-ended because there was no need not to be. I think in my mind, I really didn't want to have a discussion until we got through this period in our history. And obviously, as I've said many times, it's a bad period. Somebody asked me about legacy. And, coaches are legacy is, how many did you win? How many games did you win? Are you a good coach or a bad coach? Some people think I wouldn't go as far as say a good coach, but a pretty good coach, and some people think I'm not. And I was coaching 14 years in a national paper, fortunately no longer with us, had the front page saying Jim Boeheim was the worst coach in the NCAA tournament. That's 64 coaches. I don't know if it was 64 then. It was a long time ago. It might not have been 64. It was a lot. It was a lot of coaches. So my legacy isn't too good with that writer. Now, paper folded, so maybe that's... No, your legacy, how people think of you as a coach is... I remember a great time. I was talking to a player that played at UCLA when I was a young coach, and I said, I just starting out. I asked the player, I said, it's unbelievable. You play for Coach Wooden? And I mean, he said, well, he wasn't that good. We had great players. So I guess everybody has their opinion, and everybody will have their opinion about my coaching ability. That's part of my legacy. The other part, I hope, of my legacy that I care about is that people in this community think, and this nation who are Syracuse people, think that I've been loyal to Syracuse University, that I've done everything I can for Syracuse University, and that I've done everything I can for my community. And I've done everything that I can, and some people will hold me accountable to that or what I haven't done, but I'm comfortable. And what I really care about is the opinion of those people. You know, there's been people all my life who said I shouldn't come to Syracuse, I couldn't play here. My best friend freshman year said, you aren't going to play here. So, I mean, you're going to get that. People didn't want to hire me here. Some guy told my best friend, he'll never win any games there. He won't last 2 years. So everybody has their opinions. And, like, I don't really mean I don't give what their opinion is much about it. Like I said, that was kind of a press conference thing. They're entitled to them. It's a great country. And everybody's going to have their opinion.
I'm just wondering whether there's some way to have these multi-million-dollar operations go on the campus of an educational facility and not be constantly, at least under very close scrutiny and a lot of questions raised about whether there is a separation between the academics and the
athletics. I'm not going to get the exact time, but there was a quote, college athletics is completely out of control. They don't know we don't know what's going on. The athletes aren't going to school. They're not doing it. It was like 1920, for the 1930. There's always going to be people that feel that way. I think we have 350 schools. I think everybody does it the right way as far as they can. Can mistakes be made? Yes. Do people make mistakes? Yes. And, that's part of it. It's the same in every walk of life, college life. There were hundreds of fraud cases, academic frauds, at every school in the country. This last year, every school. It happens. This isn't unique. We're not like one, and that's what it tends to be. It happens every day. At every university, there's fraud, academic fraud. Kids do things that shouldn't do. That's the way it is. I think big-time college athletics it's always been big-time. It's gotten bigger because it's more on TV now, but it's always been important. It's always athletics has always been important. It's just the scale is different. But in when I started coaching, if you didn't win, you got fired. If you don't win now, you get fired. You know, I mean, there's nothing. There's not major changes. I wanted to play in the NBA. You know, I don't criticize a player. I want every one of our players to hope he can play in the NBA. I want them to be realistic and know that they can. But the ironic thing about players is everyone that plays at Syracuse can play for money someplace. Everyone. I mean, there's, you know, everybody says, well, only 3% of college athletes play in the NBA. That's true. But they all can play someplace. There is a country you can play in if you want to play. But you get your degree because you will need that degree someday, unless your name's Bill Gates. You will need that degree. And that's what we stress. That's why we had a guy graduate this year as a junior. That's why our two juniors who have a year of eligibility left will graduate this spring. Because we believe in that guy. And we practice it. We have facts to back it up. This isn't a coach saying we do a good job. This is a coach saying we do a good job, and here are the facts. Here are the facts in the case. That's important.
Coach, me again here in the middle. Just to confirm, you said, are you going to appeal the 90-day suspension?
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, the number of vacated wins has been.
I can't appeal.
Is there a number there?
You know, one thing that's important that hasn't been brought out, and I'd like to bring it out, every penalty is a penalty on the coach. Every penalty is a penalty on the school. There is no, I mean, they can separate it, but if I can't coach 9 games, it hurts our players and it hurts the school. If I can't get scholarships, it hurts the school and it hurts the coach because, well, we can't get players. I think we can. I think we will. We had 8 players on our team on scholarship when we won the national championship. So I think we can do that, but it's obviously, we think it's the most severe scholarship punishment. That's the school's decision. All of these penalties affect me, and they affect the school. And the 9-game suspension affects all of the players on next year's team. I would really, will appeal, it won't work, we will appeal that I could coach in practice to get them ready for the games and take the punishment of not coaching them in the game. And I don't think that I will take salary if I'm not going to be able to coach in games, and I think I'll take that money and donate it to local charities, not my own. Because I don't think I'll feel right doing that. But we will appeal that. It's a harsh one. I think I probably, you know, I mean, there should be a suspension of games. That's the policy. That's the new way. But, I mean, there's been coaches implicated in actually doing something that got a 3-game. So I think it's harsh. But we'll see.
Have they given you a number of wins, and is that also something you appeal?
I can't appeal them. They're not.
Is there a number? Did you know?
I don't know. No, that's the school's decision. You know, I've never felt taking wins away from a whole team for what if one guy did something, depending on what it was and so on and so forth. They haven't been consistent in enforcing that, obviously, over the years. So, but we'll see. We'll see. I think at the end of the day, you know, when the final time comes, does it matter how many games you won? Is that important? It isn't to me. I know. I don't see Bud here, so he thinks it is. But it's nice, but it's not. It's not what I'm going to be thinking about near the end.
Jim, you talked about Mike Hopkins and your sort of personal feelings and with him and all. But in terms of the ambiguity of his situation right now, and in terms of going forward, 3 years is a long time to have we're not exactly sure who the coach is going to be. And would you hope that resolution comes pretty quickly?
I would think it will come. Hope that it would come quickly. Yeah, I would hope so. I think this is not. I don't think the chancellor said anything about it not happening. I think all he said was this isn't really the right exact time to get into that. And I think he's right. I think it's a good decision. But I think that that will. I mean, listen, Mike wanted to leave. I mean, he had a chance to get a job, and he could have been gone. We would never hold him back. I would never do that. And if he saw a great opportunity right now, he would take that job because he wants to be a head coach. But so I don't think this is a problem. I think people have already made it a problem, so it'll probably be hard to go back for those people. But I think some people that haven't already made a comment on this, I don't think this is an issue. I really don't.
You don't think they're recruiting in time?
Well, it certainly has not hurt our recruiting so far. And I don't think it will next year. I'm going to be here. I'm coaching. So they're coming. Everybody we recruit, coach, you only need to be there for 1 year. That's the reality. This is reality. I'm going to be here for 3. If I said right now I'm going to be here 1 year, that would be a problem. I'm not. This will work out in time.
Coach,
it's a little off topic, but it's the school district you and your family live in. Would you have any response to reports that Bob McKenney's being forced out at JD?
I trust me, I have enough coaching my team. I respect Coach McKenney. I have known him a long time, and I think he's done a great coaching job at James Wood High School. That's a high school decision. They make them all the time, and it's not for me to say. As a parent, I might have gone to the meeting, but I was a little preoccupied.
We appreciate everybody coming.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Once again, I did not determine the answer.
I want to thank everybody that tuned into the show today. Whenever you're listening, that's the beauty of it. I could be talking to you on a Tuesday. You listen 3 Fridays from now, 10 years from now, or exactly right in that moment when it happens. That is why it's here. Every single show automatically is saved. If you have the app, it's automatically on the app. You don't have to download it to your phone and wait for these long downloading times and buffering. The shows are always available. You can download them, and it only takes a few seconds to get the show on if you want to keep a certain show. But my whole point of this is saying you don't have to take up space on your phone, on your computer, on your iPad, on your tablet. You don't have to, on your iPod, you don't have to do any of that. You download the app, takes a few seconds to download. Once it's downloaded, every single show that I've ever put on there is available to you. You don't have to go search for them. You don't have to try and find them. You don't have to put together the shows that you want to listen to. Every single show is there for you, so you always can listen to whatever you want from over 480 choices, which I believe will suffice maybe a little bit. So, just about suffice. So, thank you for listening in. Jim Boeheim, everything he had to say, really big statements. I'm going to be breaking this down a little bit more in times to come here. I really want to get to the root of some of these things. But he said a lot, and I think that this was the time to do it. I respect him for doing it. The press conference took just over an hour when Boeheim talks 4, 8, 12 minutes after a game. So, this was a very big moment. I think that that's an understatement. Throughout this entire show, I've been trying to find the words to say this is like the Jim Boeheim press conference of all press conferences. But maybe that's the way you say it, is that it truly was. And anybody that watched it, I think you can appreciate it for what it was. And I think you can appreciate him. And I was asked a question when I was on the radio station, 1230 and 1450 a.m. down in Fayetteville, North Carolina, talking about Jim Boeheim, which you can hear on my website. And you can hear that by going to the Cuse basketball page, Syracuse basketball. It's wakeupcalldt.webs.com/Syracuse-basketball. Or you could just go to the Cuse tab on wakeupcalldt.com and then click on Syracuse basketball, which is right under it. Just right on that Cuse tab, the C-U-S-E, Syracuse basketball, is right under it. If you're following me on social media, you get the link automatically. You just have to click on it. So make sure, if you're on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, you'll see it. Twitter at CallDT. That's C-A-L-L-D-T. It'll give you opportunity to hear when I was asked questions about Boeheim and everything, what I had to say, not knowing what was going to be asked to me. Knew kind of the gist of it, but not knowing exactly what was going to come my way. I did a show down there with a gentleman named Mike. He has a show called The Roundtable on ESPN 1230 and 1450 and ESPN Fayetteville. You can listen to it on ESPNFAY.com. So I thank him for that. But I want to leave you with something that I did talk about on his show. He asked me about Boeheim and his legacy. And do I think that everything that's been going on tainted things a little bit? Yeah, I think initially having the NCAA sanctions, having the NCAA investigation going on and Bernie Fine, all that stuff that's been happening over the last few years, you know, that definitely has affected things. You know, having them play games and having this thing hanging over your head, this cloud looming of, okay, well, they're playing games and they're doing this and they're doing that, but when is the NCAA going to make a decision? When are they going to tell anybody? And then having Boeheim, the question's always been, how long is he going to be around? And now we know that the outside number, as he told me when I asked him the question during the press conference that you heard here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, the free Wake Up Call DT app and iTunes, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, when he said, you know, listen, 3 is the outside number. If I don't feel like I'm as effective after 1, I'll be done after 1. If it's after 2, you know, I'll be done after 2. So hearing all that and being around all that, you know, you start to sit here and you start to think and you're like, you know, some of these big questions, the biggest question, how long is he going to be around, that's been answered. And all these sanctions come down. Really hard on Jim Boeheim. It's affecting students. Ron Patterson leaves. B.J. Johnson leaves. So, and I was told by a source very close to the situation that it, quote-unquote, had nothing to do with the NCAA investigation, sanctions, rulings, and all that. But you find it hard to believe that it didn't have something to do with it, at least in my opinion. So is his legacy tainted, you know? And I think if the championship of 2003 was taken away, then I could say, you know, yes. I would say yes. I would think, you know, if he handled the press conference differently that you just heard, I could potentially say yes. But I honestly believe, and I'm not saying that he paid for all of his sins or that he righted every wrong, but this press conference definitely, I feel, helps keep him. It puts him in a positive light. It makes him, like I said to start the show, it makes him human. Human again. You know, some people see his humanity, but not a lot of people see his humanity. And I don't mean that. I mean, I know they have the Jim and Julie Boeheim Foundation, so it's not that he's not human. It's not that he doesn't do good things. But what I'm saying is a lot of what people see and hear from Jim Boeheim is not like that lovey-dovey, I'm right here for you, buddy, type of thing. And it's not to say he doesn't have that, but I think he showed a side of him that you were always hoping existed. So, you know, I said on the show in ESPN Fayetteville, North Carolina, just like I'm going to tell you now, I said, you know, I think deep down in the heart of every true Syracuse fan, they will always have a little bit of love for Jim Boeheim, even if it's a little bit. But, you know, I think it's a little bit more than that. So I think in the heart of every Syracuse fan, the way that Jim Boeheim handled himself in this press conference, the way he handles himself moving forward, and his dedication to the team, if that truly lives out indeed as it has in word, then I believe that in the heart of every fan, there will be love for Jim Boeheim, and that will keep his legacy intact, so to speak, and he has plenty of players that speak highly of him, and I think that that goes a long way as well, knowing how successful those players have been and how they're working to be. So that is today's show, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. I thank you so much for listening into the show here on wakeupcalldt.com, the free Wake Up Call DT app, and on the iTunes podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Once again, social media, let's run it down the line. You can find me on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT. You can find me on Twitter at CallDT, C-A-L-L-D-T. You can find me on Instagram, some pretty cool videos up there that I took from the ACC tournament, WakeUpCall_DT. That's WakeUpCall_, that little underline, DT. and, of course, youtube.com/wakeupcalldt if you want to watch Jim Boeheim's press conference, want to watch him look at me, which I appreciate. I always appreciate when somebody looks at you when you ask them a question. I feel like when they lock eyes with you and they look at you, even when they're answering somebody else's question, I think that's even more respect. But when they look to you and they answer your question as if it's like, okay, well, you know, you asked it, so I'm going to bring it to you and I'm going to talk to you. I feel like there's respect there when anybody, I'm not just talking coaches and players, I'm talking about when someone's talking with you and you ask them something and they even when you don't ask them something, you're just talking, when they give you that eye contact, I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me when you have that because I think that it demonstrates respect. So you can watch the video, youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. I'm Dan Satora. As you know, I've been around for 11-plus years. I love what I'm doing, and I think it goes without saying. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying life. I'm just living every day to show all you kids out there that, you know, you could do it, and all you adults out there that lost your way and like, what am I doing? Do what you love. You're only going to go around once. Enjoy your life. Have fun with it. Make it count in a positive way. So if I could teach you anything, I could say anything, it would be to not worry about people that are going to stand in your way or things that are going to stand in your way. Don't fret over the things that are going to give you headaches and bog you down. Spend all the energy you spend worrying, freaking out, thinking that there's going to be people in your way and things in your way. Use all that energy toward your dreams. So when you meet everything that's in your way, you have so much positive energy that you just barrel over it. Thank you all. God bless you all. I'll talk to you very soon. And thank you to Jim Boeheim for really giving a press conference that I truly will appreciate for a very long time.